Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
I'm going to start off with a question. Now, this is not a trick question. How do you see yourself? Now, I'm not talking about, I see myself every day in a mirror. No, I ain't talking about the natural. I'm talking about what do you see on the inside of you? Other words, let me say, turn with me to Proverbs 23, verse 7. Because what you think on, what you meditate on, is going to form an image on the inside of you, either good or bad. And that's the reason why I asked the question, what do you see? If you see something negative, that's a good indication that you've been meditating and thinking the wrong thing. And that is a problem, because what you think on and what you meditate on will eventually come out. And then you're going to have some problems, because now words are released, and words contain faith, they can contain doubt, fear. So it is the utmost importance what we feed our minds on, what we're looking at, what we meditate on, because that's going to shift over to the next level, and the next level will be words. Then you start speaking words, then that goes to another level, which is your actions. But let's go back down two steps and talk about what we're thinking on. Now, in Proverbs 23, we all know this. We can quote this. I better turn the right page here.
This is the King James. New King James. I'm thinking King James, but it says there, for as he thinks
in his heart, so is he. Now you may think, well, that's kind of insignificant, but saints, that's where it all begins. That word think, if you do your research on it, is talking about your mind, obviously, but also your image, your imagination. Because we know your imagination, if it's not under control, it'll run wild. It'll just run. Bible talks about casting down imaginations, arguments, anything that would try to exalt itself above the word. Why is that? Because that's how the enemy works. He works in the mind, the imagination. So we have to keep our thinking in line with the word. Like I said before, if it's not under control, that image on the inside, in other words, like this, I'm going to give you a good example. If you see yourself sick on the inside, if you see yourself in lack on the inside, there is no prayer that you can pray to outpray that. Unless you pray the word and start renewing the mind in your prayer life, yes, that can happen. But if you're constantly seeing yourself sick, you're constantly seeing yourself in lack. You're constantly seeing or saying that you're a failure. You think you're a failure. That's all an image that has to be That has to be changed. That mindset has to be changed from a failure attitude to one of victory. You should be seeing yourself in victory, because the truth is you're in Christ Jesus. The truth is you're in the Anointed One. But I have come across so many Christians, even though they're saved, even though they know these things, they know their identity in Christ, but yet from their very words that they're speaking to me, they have a wrong image on the inside. And I'm thinking, well, how can that be? You know, there's certain people that no one here, so no need to look around. I'm thinking, you know what the Word says. You know exactly who you are in Christ Jesus, but yet you're allowing a negative image on the inside of you because you're allowing your mind to drift in the negative. You're not going to win that way. I don't see how any possible way you can win and stay in victory with a negative attitude, with a negative image on the inside of you. Now you can do a checkup on this. Bible says we are to examine ourselves, right, whether we're in the faith or not. You can check real quick just by the words you're speaking. If you're speaking negatively, you got an image problem on the inside. Now, I'm going to show you some examples. Because when you have a wrong image, wrong things come out your mouth. Now, turn with me to, let's look at Abraham. Let's turn with me to Genesis chapter 17. Let's look at, because Abraham is the father of our faith. And he's our example. But God had to do some work with him. See, since we haven't all arrived yet, it's a process. Amen. Genesis 17, verse, Here it is. Abraham's 99 years old. And he's still, and Sarah, they're still without child. Now, I want you to listen to his words, okay, that he's about to speak here in verse 17, or verse 8, excuse me. Verse 18, it says, and Abraham said to God, now this is his response to God. God came down to revisit him about the promise. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. In other words, he's not totally convinced yet. Come on. Before this, he laughed. Sarah's laughing. He's laughing. In other words, I'm 99 years old. My wife's 90. This is it. Just let Ishmael take it over. You know, give me a rocking chair and that's you know, I'm a chill. But no, but God says in the next verse, he says, no, this is what's going to happen. But notice, actually before this, God has to change this image that he has. He sees himself with no child. God promised him that he would have a child and Sarah, but he sees himself with no child. So how is God going to change this image on the inside? Really simple. God just makes a simple adjustment and it happens like this. God changes his name from Abram to Abraham. Why is that? There's obviously several reasons, but what I'm trying to get across tonight is when you speak a word, it paints a picture. If I was to say pizza, you're not thinking about a dog. The minute I said pizza, you're thinking pizza. Why? Because that painted a picture in your mind. When God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, it painted a picture on his heart. And that image, it didn't start right off the back, because right here, he's still wanting Ishmael to take it. But over a process of time, you got to give it some time. Yes, you may have to confess it a couple of times. But he stuck with it. In other words, he said, okay, I'll do it. See, in Romans chapter 12, it talks about be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God's renewing his mind, that image on the inside, just by shifting those words. Now, every time someone speaks to Abraham, every time Abraham introduces himself, at 99 years old, going on 100, he's saying, I'm a father of a multitude. Now, do you think possibly people made fun of him? Laughed at him? He even laughed about it. Sarah laughed about it. So, obviously, people are going to be talking about behind their back. Listen, it doesn't matter what other people say.
That's right.
If God says it, I'll say it.
Amen.
I'll make the adjustment. Because, saints, this is how you call things forth. This is how you call those things that be not as though they were. Abraham was not, when God changed his name to Abraham, he was still without child. But now God made an adjustment. Listen, when Abraham agreed and got in agreement with God in his program, things began to transform. God began to dial back the clock. They were old. Naturally, they can't do it. But simply because of their obedience, simply by speaking what God said to say, that clock began to tick back. Their lives began to be transformed back into their youth. And you see this, you read on. Sarah was a good-looking lady. Come on. God began to take that clock and reverse it, and now they're walking, their bodies were in tune with their youth, their youth years. Now we got Sarah running around chasing Abraham. Poor Abraham. Abraham probably said, what's going on with this? I can't get no rest. But their youth has been renewed. Listen, we get on track with God. We just start saying what God says. Saints, it will have an effect on your inward man, on the inside of you. Your image, that image, if it was lack, it'd change. God's not a failure. His word's not a failure. If God's word says it, and if you'll put it in you, put that seed in you, and allow that seed to germinate, it'll change anything.
Amen.
Now, we got this example, and this is old covenant example, and it hasn't changed. God works off his word. If you just work the word, it'll work. You work the word. Listen, it's not, if I do a bunch of performances here. No, just speak the word and rest.
Amen.
Let the word work for you.
Amen.
You know, I tell you what, and I'd had trouble with this years ago. I don't want to jump the gun here. Go with me to Numbers chapter 13, because we see this. Into 10 spies, because the wrong image. What did I say? Go to Numbers 13. Grasshopper thinking leads to grasshopper talking. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think you can't do it, you can't. You're going to be very hard because you just limited yourself. Now listen, listen. Words always follow the image on the inside of you. You got a negative image, words always come out. You got a positive image on inside of you, positive words come out. Now listen to their confession. Numbers 13, and we're going to jump right on in to verse 33. It says, now you got to remember, the giants did not keep them out of the promised land. Oh, Pastor Chuck, you know I would be 10 miles ahead. I would be a millionaire from now. If it weren't right now, I could be a millionaire, but those giants would keep me from... God's called me to be a millionaire. You know, and, hey, listen, you may laugh at that, but I really believe there's a lot more, there should be a lot more millionaires in the body of Christ than what there. In other words, the anointing is there. I'm not saying everyone has that calling to be a millionaire or that ministry of giving, but they ought to, there's a lot more than what you think. Whatever the case may be, well, Pastor Chuck, I would be debt free right now, but the giants are keeping me from being debt free. Really? The giants are bigger than God? The giants are bigger than the Word? It's like these. It's like this first generation of Israelites and these 10 spies. It's not the giants keeping you out. It's your small thinking. It's your poor image of yourself. It's your lack of focus. That's keeping you out. That's keeping you from going into the land of abundance. That's keeping you from going into the land of promise. It's not, we know God ain't doing it. Now the enemy, he jumps on in and he'll do what he can, obviously. He whispers in your ear and tells you you can't do it. But notice the confession here. Now there's other confessions they've made that was negative, but I don't want to focus in on this one because it is a classic. It says here, and there we saw the giants. Well, yeah, there's always going to be giants, okay? And the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so were we in their sight. In other words, they believed they had an image on the inside that they were grasshoppers. And they believed that the giants saw them as grasshoppers. Now, I know the Lord, you know, compares us to, he calls us sheep, but he doesn't call us grasshoppers. Grasshoppers are nothing but fish bait. What else would you do with them? I don't know. I mean, John the Baptist ate them, I guess, but. But other than that, I guess at the fall festival, they may fry them and put some chocolate on it. I don't know. Other than that, I don't know what you would do with them. They're fish bait. They're saying, if we go in, they're going to eat us alive. And actually, it was just the opposite. But because of this poor image on the inside, they were never, ever able to tap in on the inheritance that God had laid up in the promised land. Right. Never got to tap in on it. It just laid there. Except for Joshua and Caleb. Joshua had a whole nother, and Caleb had a whole nother outlook. They had a whole nother image. I'm telling you, your image would take you. It'd take you because your image will you'll speak in line with that image on the inside. Caleb, even at 85 years old, he kept that image alive on the inside. He said, "I brought back a report that was in my heart." He kept the same image. What was that image? When he walked, listen, when he walked the promised land, every step, I could see Caleb, I could see him say, yeah, every step I take, yep, this is prime land. This is my land. Every step I take is mine. I'm walking on. God says so. Every step and he claimed it. And he would not let go of that image. Even at the age of 85, he held fast to that. Not one time did I hear, there is no recorded, nothing recorded about Caleb and Joshua being negative while they had to wait. I'm not there yet. I guarantee I would have been kicking someone's rear end. Give me out of the promised land for 40 years. Come on now. But Caleb was just at 85 years old, and he was just as strong as he was when he was 40. Supernatural. He kept the image alive on the inside. Amen. You know, and it's easy. I'm telling you what, it's easy to have a negative image. I remember. Of course, it goes back maybe when I was little. Christmas time, I got sick. And I think maybe 2 years in a row, I got sick. And because of that circumstance, I had it engraved another image on the inside of me. So I would say this. Well, Christmas time's coming. I guess I'll get sick. Christmas time's coming. I usually do get sick about this time of year. That was my confession. Now, you may think that was silly, but that goes way back. That's before I didn't know anything. And sure enough, most of the time, see, that's self-fulfilling. That is self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm speaking it. I'm calling it forth. Christmas time's coming. Christmas time's coming. And I would prepare myself to get sick. Now, ain't that stupid? That's grasshopper thinking. That's a grasshopper image. Well, I guess I'll never have anything in life. I guess I'll always be broke. That is a grasshopper image. That is a grasshopper talking. God never said that. And the remedy for that, just like it was for me when I would say I would get sick, and usually I did. I kid you not, usually I'd get sick. And some, one year I really got sick. I even took the flu shot. Was that before Christmas? Whenever it was, I guess it had to be. Usually you take the flu shot before Christmas. This has been over 35 years ago, 40. I don't know. It couldn't have been 40. Anyway, I'm not good at math. But I said, I want to get smart. I'm going to take a flu shot. I thought I was going to die. I had never got so sick in my life from a flu shot. That's my witness right there. I have never, to this day, I've never been that sick in my life. That was the last time I took a flu shot. They can have them. Now, if Lord's told you to get a flu shot, you go get it. I'm not speaking for everyone about flu shots, and I'm not coming down negative on flu shots. If you take them, good for you. But what the Lord dealt with me is I had to change this image of seeing myself get sick. So what do I have to do? Again, I had to renew my mind to what God said. And again, words paint pictures on the inside of you. Matthew 8:17 says, and I got a hold of this, it says, and I just took that, I meditated on this. It says, he himself took, well, I just go ahead and say it. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. But I make it personal. I would say, He Himself took my. I just meditated on that. I mean, I took that one scripture and I meditated on it so much that it became alive on the inside of me. You know what I say when the word comes alive? It becomes a rhema. The light switch came on, revelation came on, and it came to me with my swift thinking. But it wasn't really my natural thinking. It's more of a spirit. It's definitely a spiritual revelation that He Himself did something for me. I don't have to be sick at Christmas. I don't have to come down with the flu at any time. Why should I have to come down with the flu? He took it. He nailed it to the cross. I don't need. But until I got revelation of that word, that image didn't change. Now, I worked on it as a slow process. That's why you can't give up. Just because you're in a rut, it may take a little bit to get out of the rut. You just keep confessing the word until it comes alive on the inside. It becomes that rhema word. But see, the word becomes, now it's a two-mouth sword. It's not just God speaking. Now, according to Hebrews chapter 4, when I speak it now, when it's in me, it's now a double-edged sword. It's alive. It had to do a quick work. It's the same with finances. You may have a bad image on the inside. There are some areas in my life too. I'm stronger in some areas than I am in others. It just is. So I'm not up here telling you that I know it all and I have everything. No way, man. No way. But say finances. If I'm having trouble in my finances, and I'm having trouble with that image on inside of me, obviously I need to go to the Word. Just like I did Matthew 8:17 for healing, I need to take that word, whatever word that may be in the Word. You can find a lot of word about finances in the Word of God. For me, it was 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. It became alive to me. My financial lack was nailed to the cross. He became something. He became poor for me. I mean, I started to meditate. I go, man, He did that for me. So what happens? That image of being poor, broke, begins to shift. And I begin to see that the work was done at the cross. It's not about, see, the Lord began to deal with me because I was so focused. Listen to me now. I was so focused on the performance side of it. In other words, well, how much seed should I put in? How much do I need to put in to get out of this debt? How much seed? Now, hold on a minute. Hold on. Where's Jesus at in this? I had to learn this the hard way. I'm telling you because I don't want, especially younger people, not to go through what I had to go through. I went through this performance thing for years. I'm going to plant seed. Did you see what I put in today? Did you see that offering? Woo, I'm putting in some offering. Did you? And I'd even keep record of how much I put in. Now, you may say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. But hold it now. I left Jesus totally out of the equation of seed time and harvest. Other words, I didn't mention hardly anything about what He did at the cross. My whole focus was on my performance. That stinks. Amen. And I go into that even more detail, but I'll just leave it go with that. It just stinks. And if there's anything that gets me going, that's the reason why I'm very cautious who I will listen to. because I will get in the flesh real quick when I hear evangelists on TV saying some of the stuff they say. It is not scriptural, and it gets me going, and I have to watch that because I'm not going to get in the flesh over what they're saying. My focus is on Jesus. My focus is on what He did for me. To receive my healing, I did not have to do one type of performance. I did not have to do anything but to receive what He did for me. That is the only thing I had to do, is receive what He did for me. That is it. That's what faith is all about, saint. It's about receiving the finished works. It's not about how much I can perform. Yes, being a doer of the word is important. Without being a doer, your faith is dead. Yes, yes, and yes. There's a balance to all this. Our first look should be to Him. I found this out. I found this out. I just listened to the Holy Spirit. There's times, and Joy, this is how we live. We get a witness to give. Man, we're quick to give. Well, Pastor Chuck, is that the only time you give? No, we give all the time. All the time. We just love to give. I am bragging on Pastor Mark, but I enjoy giving to his ministry. Amen. It is such a joy to give. It's not a dread to give into his ministry because I know him. It's a fun thing to do. Fun? You mean giving's fun? I enjoy it. My wife and I enjoy it. We look for areas to give because God has done so much for us. It's not about, yes, there is seed time and harvest. I'm not up here. Don't go and say, well, Pastor Chuck doesn't believe in seed time and harvest. Oh, yes, I do. If you don't believe in seed time and harvest, you're going to have a hard time. But I'm just saying, you got to have the right focus and the right attitude to this whole thing. Anyway, I'm getting off the subject here. Where am I at? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Let's look at another guy. And this guy, I'll tell you, this is a good example. Zacharias is a very good example, someone with the wrong image. And you may say, well, I don't understand that, Pastor Chuck. What do you mean Zacharias with the wrong image? Well, let's just read here. Luke chapter 1, verse 6. I'm talking about having the right image on the inside of you. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Now, and let's read about Zacharias. And Zacharias, let's just read a little bit about him. It says here in Luke chapter 1, verse 6, it says he was a righteous. See that in verse 6? They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly. Not just in a few things, but in all the commandments and requirements of God. This is the Amplified Bible. And it says, verse 7, but they had no child, for Elizabeth was barren, and both were far advanced in years. Now you can see here, they were righteous, they were blameless in all the commandments and requirements of God. And in verse 8, we see Zacharias serving in the church. He's a priest. So we have here righteous people, believers. Amen. They're believers. And in verse, and it gets even better. And in verse 11, let's read this. Verse 11, an angel appears to him standing at the right-hand side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and feared. And fear, Amplified Bible says, took possession of him, which I don't really like that phrase. But verse 13, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer, your petition was heard." Amen. Now get this now. So not only was he righteous, not only was he blameless, and we keep going on this, not only did he serve God in church, he's a believer, but he's also a man of faith. It says here, Zechariah, your prayer has been answered. Your prayer has been heard. Now, you would think he would jump for joy. You would think that, at last, I've been waiting a long time for this. I'm kind of old, but hey, I'll take it. But it's not his, that's not what he's, going to do. Why is this? Let's read on. "For your petition was heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and you shall call his name John." As you skip down to verse 18, And Zechariah said to the angel, now here's where he's going to get in trouble, "How should I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." A poor image will talk negative. He no longer sees himself with answered prayer. He no longer sees himself with that image. He lost, in other words, what I'm trying to say is he lost that image of having a child. He lost that dream. Now he's got this image of no children, and he's actually accepted it. And the angel comes and says, "Zechariah, Lord's heard your prayer. It's time for manifestation." But he's got this old image, and you can see in his words, "I'm old." Now, he should have known better. This guy knows quite a bit. He's a priest. He should have known better. Notice he made this confession one time. And the Lord said, "I got to shut him up." That's how important your words are. Your words are so important. They're containers. And what he was speaking was unbelief. His words were containers of unbelief, coming from an image from within that he saw himself childless. God said, "You're not childless. I got the answer for you." So God says, "Well, listen, you know, you said, why would God have to go that extreme? Couldn't God just talk to him?" Evidently, God expected a lot more from him. There was nothing else said, nothing else other than he just shut him up. So the words you speak, don't think they carry authority. Don't think they carry power. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. Every word you speak, they're framing something. Every word you speak, they're containers to build something in your life. If you're speaking words negative, I guarantee you got a negative image on the inside of it. It needs to be changed. That's the whole point tonight. It's changing that inner image on the inside of you. In order to do that, saints, we're going to have to get into the Word and renew our minds to the Word of God. Whatever area you're in need of, find scriptures that back up what you need. See, the Bible says that the Word is seed. Peter called it the incorruptible seed. It's alive. And once you get that seed in you and allow that seed to germinate in you, it has the power to change anything. But it all starts from the inside. Now turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. And this if I had to pick one of my favorite passages is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And we know it, but boy, it's so good to read it again. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You know, wouldn't it be something if someone just wave a wand? You know, if Pastor Mark could just put his hand over us and you know, your thoughts would change and everything would be just fine. But it's not. It takes some diligence. It's not some magic wand. It takes diligence. It says, meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. I like that. Prosperous. In all areas. It's, you know, we think of prosperous, we think of money. Yeah, you know, money, it's a lot. There's a lot of areas to be prosperous in. He said prosperous in all areas. Listen, make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Now back up. It says, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That word meditate, you look that up in your Strong's. Not only does it mean to ponder, to mutter, to talk, to think, but it also means in your Strong's it will have to imagine. You know, you are to imagine. When you read the Word of God, not only are you to study it, not only are you to mutter it, to ponder on it, but you are to imagine. That's the way God created us. You remember when you was a child, you used your imagination all the time. I was Superman, I don't know how many times. Superman. Had the cape on and everything. And I grew out of that. Then I was going to be a football player. Now you think, oh, no, I'm serious. I was about 9 years old and was in Lutheran church. And the pastor had us to, I remember, he had us to kneel. I kneeled. I don't know if he must have said something or I wouldn't have been doing it. He said he had us to kneel to pray for God's plan or something. I don't know exactly. I can't figure it out because it's very unusual for being in a Lutheran church and you're praying, you know. But I remember, I don't know what was up with that, but I remember I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to be a football player. I was about 9, you know, just watching the NFL. I started pretty young. And I told the Lord, I want to be a football player. Now, you may think this is strange, but I felt something. I felt something when I prayed and I asked God. I thought, ooh, I felt something. And I ain't putting any mustard on it. No mustard. I'm just telling, I felt something. It must have been God just patting me on top of the head. You got all zeal, son. That's all fantasy. That's just his love and touch, I guess. I don't. But anyway, we imagined all the time. We need to imagine this word. Take it, meditate on it, imagine yourself. Walk, you know, Psalms 100 talks about entering his courts with thanksgiving, entering his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Begin to visualize that. Imagine that. Use your imagination. When I do this all the time, Pastor Chuck, we know you're little. I like to see myself when I pray. I like to see myself boldly go into the throne of grace. I just picture that. I use my imagination. You say, well, that's about the silly slammer. I'm telling you, it is like day and night. It helped me. It's helped me big time. I can get in His presence real quick. Now, I'm not saying not 100% of the time. There's times when I just like, man, I can't, there's, nothing's happening right now. But I tell you what, I can imagine that, and I start meditating on that. I could picture myself right on in there. I just go in there with the boldness. I go in there with praise and worship, and I get in, right into the presence of the Father. Now, that's the power of imagination. It helps me to get in there. It helps. I call it the secret place. It helps me to get in there. Well, Pastor Chuck, there is no such thing as a secret place. It's all spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. It's not carnal. It's not your five senses. Forget it. You're not going to get there with your five senses. But spiritually speaking, you can't get in there. And it makes life. It makes it does. It turns us into life. It's not some dead religion. I serve a God that's alive. Amen. I can feel His tangible presence. He's not dead. The King's alive. He's on the inside of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, this is how you break that cycle. This is how you change the image on the inside of you. You start meditating. You take the Word of God. And you chew on it and you meditate on it over and over and over and over. The woman with the, listen to me, the woman, I'll just close. The woman with the issue of blood spent 12 years. She's in a 12-year cycle being sick, right? Broke, getting worse. Now, you want to talk about trying to get rid of an image. You be sick for 12 years. There's something ingrained in her. 12 years of sickness. Well, how does she break that cycle? How does she break that image of being sick? The Bible said that she heard about Jesus. In other words, she heard some good news. She heard about the gospel. You know, I don't have to be sick. I don't have to be broke. So she started hearing. So as she heard and kept hearing, that old image was being replaced with a new image. Right? And that new image now, because of what she heard, now she begins to speak from that new image, faith-filled words. Does that make sense? She replaced the old image, sick image, with the image that she's been hearing about, that she don't have to be sick. And now, since she's heard that she don't have to be sick, now she releases faith-filled words, but it all started because of a new image. In other words, hope became alive on the inside of you and inside of her, and faith started to take hold and started to give substance to the things hoped for. Now she's getting up and start, now because of her change of image and her words, now her actions are taking her. All started from an image of she heard. And she turns things around in her life. Saints, we can do the same thing. And the Bible says she kept saying it. And she kept saying. And she kept saying. I think it's in Matthew's account. And she kept saying over and over. If I just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be whole. Yeah. With her words, she's releasing faith. But she's saying, when I touch that garment, when I touch that tassel, I'll be whole. She got exactly what she called for. Just like Abraham. Over and over again, he said his name over and over again. It broke that image of being childless to having many children. Amen. Amen. That's how you break it, saints. If you got a negative, you know what's on the inside of you. You know what you're dealing with. We all have things we have to deal with. We have to break that image, that mindset, and find out what the Word says about it, and replace that mindset with the Word of God. And you do that by speaking. The best way to do it is by speaking God's Word to yourself. Because there again, words paint a picture. I think it's Psalm, I'll close with this, I'm about to close. Psalm 95, excuse me, I think it's 45. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My tongue, with the words of my mouth, I can write on the canvas of my heart. Here's the Word right here. And I can write it right on my heart. Whatever I need, it's right here.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.